Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
You're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 622. I'm Amy Matheny, and it's a huge show because we are talking about the huge career of Terrence McNally, playwright, activist, voice of the LGBT community for decades among the American theater, as well as film, musicals, opera. And to have that conversation, there's no one better for us to talk with except Steve Scott, who has produced and directed many of McNally's plays. And in the upcoming 2015-2016 season, we are seeing Steve directing a couple of shows by Terrence McNally, the ever-popular and classic McNally play, The Lisbon Traviata, will be done with him in 2015-2016. But very soon they are about to open up Lips Together, Teeth Apart. Lips Together, Teeth Apart at Eclipse Theater is the kicking off their entire one-year season focusing on the works of Terrence McNally there at the Eclipse Theater. Now, Steve is also a producer at the Goodman Theater, and he freelances as a director around Chicago, and will be following up his work later on in the year at Eclipse Theater with a production of Mothers and Sons up at Northlight Theater, also a Terrence McNally play. So we're going to look at how queer theater has changed almost through the eyes of Terrence McNally today, guided by Steve Scott. And also what's going on in the LGBT news. Other new presidential hopefuls have put their hat in the ring, as well as what's going on in the theater going on in the city right now. So it's a big show. It's a little chilly today. But I think it's going to get sunnier this week. So sunny skies coming to you and a great show, I hope.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
Hillary Rodham Clinton announced she would seek the U.S. presidency for a second time. In 2008, she lost to President Obama during the Democratic primary. Clinton's video entitled Getting Started profiles various people, including one male and one female same-sex couple. The male couple is Jared Milrod and Nathan Johnson of Chicago, who plan to marry this summer in the city on the lake with a reception at the Center on Halsted.
The campaign manager for Hillary Clinton is an openly gay man. Robbie Mook, 35, is a former head of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee and served as campaign manager for Democrat Terry McAuliffe's gubernatorial victory in Virginia in 2013. He worked on the presidential campaigns of Hillary Clinton in 2008 and Howard Dean in 2004.
LPAC, the country's only lesbian political action committee, is the first national LGBT organization to endorse Clinton's campaign for presidency. LPAC is launching Lesbians for Hillary, a campaign that will be co-chaired by sports icon and humanitarian Billie Jean King.
Florida Senator Marco Rubio announced that he will run for president in 2016, becoming the third Republican candidate to do so. Rubio has lamented America's growing intolerance toward those who oppose same-sex marriage. However, he also partially defended religious freedom laws that critics call anti-gay. Rubio said the law wouldn't allow businesses to discriminate based on sexual orientation, but that businesses shouldn't be forced to provide services for a wedding they feel violates their religious beliefs.
The White House's first gender-neutral bathroom is now open. The all-gender bathroom is located in the Eisenhower Executive Office Building, which is near the West Wing of the White House and is used by White House staff.
The executive order President Obama signed that prohibits federal contractors from discriminating on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity went into effect April 8th. The chief executive signed the order last July, which was an amended executive order 11246 from President LBJ. Also, President Obama has called for an end to conversion therapy, which is aimed at changing the sexual orientation or gender identity of youth. Obama is supporting the ban of the practice on the state level, but will not call for a federal law.
North Dakota's Republican Governor Jack Dalrymple sent a memo to 17 government departments saying discrimination against anyone is unacceptable, just 2 hours before all 38 Democrats in the legislature delivered a letter calling on him to issue an executive order prohibiting bias against gays and lesbians.
In Florida, private agencies would be able to cite religious or moral grounds to turn away same-sex couples seeking to adopt children under a bill that drew comparisons to Indiana's religious freedom law. The bill was filed after social conservatives criticized a vote by the Republican-dominated House to strip a gay adoption ban from state law 5 years after it was declared unconstitutional.
Army Sergeant Shane Ortega has become the first openly transgender individual in the military. Ortega is a helicopter crew chief in the Army's 25th Infantry Division in Hawaii. Over 15,000 transgender people serve in the military. The Pentagon will not disclose how many have been discharged.
Lakeland Eye Clinic, a Lakeland, Florida-based healthcare organization, will pay $150,000 to settle one of the first two lawsuits ever filed by the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission alleging sex discrimination against a transgender individual. Lakeland additionally agreed to implement a new gender discrimination policy and provide training to employees regarding transgender/gender stereotype discrimination.
The mayors of four West Coast cities say they're lifting bans imposed on city-funded travel to Indiana after changes were made to that state's religious objections law to make it clear it can't be used to discriminate. Governors in Connecticut, New York, and Washington State have also lifted their bans.
In Arkansas, Jonesboro city leaders have rejected a proposal to protect city employees from discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity. Arkansas is set to become the second state in the nation to bar municipalities from enacting certain anti-discrimination protections. However, that ban doesn't prevent local governments from enacting anti-discrimination policies for their own employees.
Springfield, Missouri voters rejected an anti-discrimination ordinance meant to protect LGBT people. The Springfield City Council added those protections to the city's broader anti-discrimination ordinance last October.
In Iowa, hundreds of Dowling Catholic High School students and alumni turned out for a class walkout to protest the school's decision to not hire a teacher, Tyler McCubbin, who administrators found out was gay. Des Moines Catholic Schools administrators said in a letter to parents that a candidate wasn't offered a full-time position recently because the applicant's personal life was at odds with the church teaching.
Transgender author and advocate Janet Mock will be honored at the Ms. Foundation for Women's Gloria Awards. Mock first told her story of growing up as a trans girl in 2011 in Marie Claire, a magazine for which she now writes articles about pop culture, gender, race, and representation.
In world news, a district assembly in Tokyo became the first in Japan to recognize same-sex partnerships, a major step forward for gay couples in a country where being openly gay remains taboo. The vote by Tokyo's Shibuya ward may seem insignificant compared to the situation in countries like the United States, where same-sex marriage is legal in all but 13 states. However, just proposing the statute set off an unprecedented discussion over equality and is likely to pave the way for similar measures elsewhere in Japan.
The Vatican has been dragging its feet on the approval of France's ambassador to the Holy City, raising suspicions that it has effectively rejected the nomination of Laurent Stefanini because he is gay. Stefanini, a 55-year-old practicing Catholic, has been described in the Italian press as an exemplary candidate and a man of exceptional culture. He's a senior diplomat and chief of protocol in the French government.
Venezuelan supermodel Patricia Velasquez has come out as lesbian in her new memoir, Straight Walk. Velasquez, now 43, was dubbed the first Latina supermodel. She writes that while working in the modeling world in the 1990s, she was living a lie that was torturous and eroding my soul. Velasquez, mother to an 8-year-old, has modeled for Ralph Lauren, Isaac Mizrahi, Chanel, Victoria's Secret, and Sports Illustrated.
2-time major champion and out lesbian Amelie Mauresmo has announced she is expecting her first child this summer. Mauresmo, a French woman who won both the Australian Open and Wimbledon in 2006, was number one for 39 weeks in her career.
In entertainment news, after years of keeping their relationship a secret, singer Barry Manilow married his longtime partner Gary Keefe in a private ceremony in Palm Springs. The affair was a surprise, even to the couple's 20 to 30 guests, who attended what they thought was a lunch at Manilow's sprawling Palm Springs estate. Manilow's longtime friend and neighbor Suzanne Summers was reportedly the best man.
Singer Boy George joins the reality franchise Real World, Project Runway, and Keeping Up with the Kardashians for a series of his own. The show will chronicle his move from London to L.A. If Marge Simpson met Dolly Parton and went dancing with Ziggy Stardust, it would come close to what you'll see, the singer said.
Benedict Cumberbatch, openly gay personality Graham Norton, and Orange is the New Black are among the nominees for this year's BAFTA TV Awards. Cumberbatch was nominated for leading actor for Sherlock, while Norton received a nod for his show, The Graham Norton Show. Orange is a nominee for Best International Show, alongside True Detective, The Good Wife, and House of Cards. Norton will host the awards ceremony.
Out musicians Elton John and Michael Stipe are calling for the equal rights of transgender inmates following claims that a transgender woman was mistreated at a Georgia prison. Recently, the Justice Department said prison officials must treat an inmate's gender identity condition as they would treat any other medical or mental health condition.
Conservative groups are trying to kill a prospective ABC sitcom about a family upended when a teenage son comes out as gay, because sex columnist and gay rights activist Dan Savage is involved in the production. The Media Research Center and Family Research Council said their members have sent more than 21,000 postcards and made more than 4,000 telephone calls asking ABC to abandon the series, tentatively titled The Real O'Neill.
And new details have emerged regarding Diane Sawyer's April 24th interview with Bruce Jenner. Sources close to Jenner say that the ABC News conversation will be a farewell to Bruce in the Kardashian family patriarch's eyes. He will present himself as a woman publicly for the first time. However, Jenner will not reveal his new name or dress like a woman on camera.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of April 20th, 2015, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Experience the Pulitzer Prize-winning play, Doubt, a riveting story of authority, suspicion, ambiguity, and religion. Produced by Writers Theatre in an exciting site-specific production in the library of the Glencoe Union Church. Under the direction of William Brown, the audience will be a fly on the church wall. Don't miss Doubt at Glencoe Union Church, just minutes from downtown Chicago on the Eden or the Metra. To purchase tickets to Doubt, a Parable, visit writerstheater.org.
And join 13 actors in the intimate Writers Theater bookstore for a powerfully authentic portrait of a young girl clinging to hope. Experience the diary of Anne Frank like never before. Rediscover the classic The Tribune called truthful, deeply engaged, and extraordinary in the telling. For tickets, visit writerstheater.org. The Diary of Anne Frank is extended through August 2nd at the Intimate Books on Vernon and Glencoe, just minutes from Chicago on the Edens or Metra.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
This is Sharon Gless, and you're on the Windy City Queercast.
I was born with a mechanical heart, miles of wires and video parts. If only I had a human touch, I'd give you the love you deserve so much. And if heaven's way up in the clouds, way up in the clouds, for you I'm gonna bring it all down, I'm gonna bring it all down. I'll be your aeroplane and give you the world and watch you dance in Spain.
Spending an entire season exploring a playwright is a very intimate experience for artists and an audience, and that's exactly the mission of Eclipse Theater here in Chicago. And for this 2015 season, they are giving us an opportunity to get to know the openly gay playwright Terrence McNally, whose work has defined gay theater for decades, and his current plays continue to expand our stories and often reflect the funny and deeply moving human parallels of all of our lives. Steve Scott's an ensemble member at Eclipse, and while he is an ensemble member there, he also dons the hat of producer at the Goodman Theater. He will be directing one of the shows this season for Eclipse, Lisbon Traviata, and so I'm just happy to sit here and talk with him about that, because he's doing a doubleheader. He is then heading up to Northlight Theater in Skokie, Illinois, in early 2016 to direct Mothers and Sons, which I think is having its Chicago premiere, so that's very exciting. Steve, welcome to the Queercast.
Thanks very much, Amy. It's great to be with you.
It's your year of McNally, isn't it? You and Mr.
Yes, yes. And I'm thrilled. I have loved McNally for years, and it's just a real treat to be able to do two of his plays this year. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and one from Lisbon's from like the 80s or 90s, and then Mothers and Sons was just recently on
Mothers
Broadway,
and Sons,
right?
Is his newest play, and Lisbon Traviata is from the mid 80s and then early 90s.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice to span those years with Mr. McNally.
Absolutely. Tell me about Eclipse Theater. I mean, just when was the company founded, the mission, what kind of makes Eclipse unique here in Chicago and for a theater around the United States?
Well, the company was founded, and I don't know how many years ago now, but nearly 20. And the premise of the company, I think, is a fascinating one. Each year we do three productions and a number of ancillary events, all by the same playwright. So it gives audiences and it gives us as theater artists a chance to really delve into sometimes the well-known and oftentimes the lesser-known works mm-hmm. of a particular playwright. Mm-hmm. And we've done a wide variety of writers, from Neil Simon to Lynn Nottage to Tennessee Williams to Alan Ayckbourn and to Terrence McNally this year.
Yeah.
It's a real thrill to kind of build up that kind of intimate knowledge of a writer and how he or she works.
And how do you select the playwright for that year? I mean, and I guess give us an example through, how was McNally selected for the 2015-16 season?
Well, we have a kind of master list of writers that various members in the company find interesting that we kind of add to throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think it contains probably 50 names. And there is a group of us from the ensemble that then takes on the task of trying to whittle that number down,
mm-hmm.
So we start with 50. We discuss among the four or five of us, however many are on the committee that year, the pluses and minuses of each of those writers, and we start making smaller lists and then smaller lists, and when we whittle it down to about 12 writers, we ask the ensemble to start reading various plays by all of these writers so that everybody has an idea of what the body of work is and mm-hmm. what the point of view is and that sort of thing. And then finally, the ensemble takes a vote.
Yeah.
And whoever wins, that's what we do. So it's a lengthy process, but I think a really fascinating one.
Yeah.
Fascinating one for me because it forces me to read plays that I should have read but haven't read, and to really get to know these writers just from the outset.
Well, and then, okay, so you select a playwright, like you select Terrence McNally, and then mm-hmm. when you have someone like him, you're like, okay, well, then what plays of his, we only get three, do we
right.
do?
And indeed, we would love to do, you know, 15.
Sure.
Through the reading process, as we're reading, one ensemble member adopts kind of each writer and kind mm-hmm. of comes up with a slate of the works that he or she thinks are most representative or most interesting by that writer. And we read those. And then we kind of then talk about how to balance the season, because
sure.
we oftentimes do an early work by somebody, a lesser known work, paired with a much better known work or a much more recent work. And then sometimes we're working with plays that may not be available to us because they are still waiting for major professional productions or whatever. So it becomes a process of trying to balance and trying to kind of set out a course of producing and a course of study for audiences so that as they hopefully join us for each of those plays,
yeah.
their interest in the writer grows through the course of the season, too.
So who is Terrence McNally as an artist and as a playwright? I mean, where does he fit into... I mean, obviously, if you study him, you know he's a gay playwright. He has written
right.
LGBT stories and a perspective, and any gay playwright coming kind of to a higher point in their career in the 80s and early 90s, you know, was often thought of as like, you know, the playwrights that were defining the AIDS generation and kind of known as the queer playwright. But I just want to know who you're approaching him now with two very different works and homosexuality
yeah.
or sexuality plays a role in both. He definitely often has LGBT characters in his plays.
Oh,
but,
yeah,
just,
yeah.
You know, this is just your perspective on who you think is an artist
and a playwright.
Interesting
because
what his voice
in my day job, I've just finished producing, along with Chuck Smith, a whole celebration of the work of August Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Wilson is famous for really chronicling the African-American experience
right.
through the 20th century. And I think in many ways, Terrence McNally provides the same perspective for the gay community
yep.
in America. He started writing in the mid-60s, when, of course, being gay was a very different thing than it is today.
Mm-hmm.
He followed the gay community through the kind of hedonism of the 1970s and then, mm-hmm. of course, into the AIDS crises and AIDS tragedy of the 1980s and 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And he focuses in a number of his plays, he, of course, focuses on gay characters, but in many of them, he also focuses on non-gay characters and their response to what's going on in the
mm-hmm.
gay community, both positive and negative. And trying to, I think essentially he wants all audiences to come to grips with what it is to be a part of that community, but what it is also to include that community in the community of America.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a very, I wish
mm-hmm.
I were more erudite in my description, but that's what I find really kind of fascinating about him. And as
mm-hmm.
a gay man of a certain age, I certainly depended on McNally early on to kind of express my feelings about
mm-hmm.
about
mm-hmm.
the world through his
mm-hmm.
Work, and as he's grown older and as I've grown older, it's just interesting to see where his work has developed and how it deals with the world now.
Yeah. Well, let's talk through some of the plays that are going to be a part of the eclipse season.
Sure.
As you said, you kind of start perhaps with almost they go chronologically in this season, or maybe they don't. No, they don't. Do they?
Not really. Lips Together is from 1991 and Perfect Ganesh is from 1993.
Yeah.
And then Lisbon Traviata is from the late 80s. So it kind of jumps around chronologically.
Yeah, but that's okay. So Lips Together, Teeth Apart, your partner Ted Hurl will be directing
that. Yes.
And tell us about Lips Together, Teeth Apart. And that kind of speaks to something you were just saying of like the voyeurism or the editorial commentary of people looking, you know, at what's happening to the gay community.
Well, it's a fascinating play, and it's one of his better known works, but I blush to say it's not a work that I knew terribly well before we started working on this. But it, basically the premise of Lips Together, Teeth Apart is that a young gay man and his partner have owned a house on Fire Island, and the young man has died and has left the house to his sister and her husband. And so on a 4th of July weekend, the sister, her husband, his sister, and her husband all gather at this house to celebrate the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. And they're basic, you know, middle class, working class folks who really don't know exactly how to deal with the gay community. And of course, on Fire Island in 1991, they were surrounded by the gay community.
Right. And how to deal with the gay community, but I'm moving to Boys Town kind of thing.
Exactly. Right. So some of it is very funny. I mean, in some ways, seeing kind of their discomfort or their difficulty at kind of coming to terms with what's around them. But all through the play, there's this kind of mourning for the brother who's died and who's died of AIDS, at a point at which dying from AIDS-related causes was still, to some people, a great source of shame as well as a particularly terrible way to die. Mm-hmm. And kind of dealing with the very complicated feelings that each has towards that subject and towards their own mortality in some ways. Yeah. So McNally wrote this play kind of as a, almost not really a lesson, but he wrote it for a straight community that was trying to come to terms with this.
Yep.
And basically saying, okay, from our point of view, this is where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it still holds very true. You know, even in the era of same-sex marriage and all of that, mm-hmm. there's still a lot of discomfort, distrust, yep. whatever, sometimes that we keep trying to bridge. And I think this play attempts to do that.
Well, and then following up with that, A Perfect Ganesh. This is a very, you know, different. And I think people might forget that, like, Terrence McNally wrote, like you said, I mean, not often, always, it wasn't just around, wasn't just always love, valor, and compassion or Lisbon Traviata. I mean, he wrote Frankie and Johnny and the Clair de Lune,
right?
And wrote many musicals
and a lot of musicals.
He's a
particularly skilled librettist. He is above all a really fascinating and really good storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
And to be a good librettist, you have to be able to tell a story very quickly and very deftly, which he has done in his plays, but especially in his musical plays.
So Perfect Ganesh takes us to a whole nother place.
And, well, Perfect Ganesh is about the journey of a couple of middle-aged women from Connecticut, kind of nice suburban ladies, who have both lost sons, one to AIDS, and are traveling looking for some sort of solace and mm-hmm. what they term inner peace.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to India.
Mm-hmm.
And there they encounter, in very theatrical terms, a Hindu god named Ganesha, the term meaning wisdom. And Ganesha leads them through their search for peace and for some sort of resolution in terms of the tragedies of their lives. So it's a very funny play, but it's a very, very moving and somewhat strange play, I think.
Yeah.
Really unique, really unusual, and I think it's a it's not terribly well known now, but it's one of those plays that I think really defines who McNally is as a playwright and as a humanist, which I think he really is.
Yeah. It has that fantastical element to it, or magical
element to it. Well, and
not exactly like people sitting on a back patio talking in Fire Island having,
exactly
normal, well, and naturalistic conversations. So it kind of shows the breadth of, I think there's where you see some of the musicality and the magic and the being in other worlds that a great person of musical theater can do. Like feeling becomes so much that you sing or that you speak in poetry or a poetic image or something fantastical happens.
Well, he uses music in all of his plays very, very specifically. And he also, perhaps this is without saying for a writer for the theater, he loves the theater. And some of his best plays are about the theater itself.
Mm-hmm. Hit that's going on right now on Broadway.
It's Only a Play.
It's Only a Play,
which,
with like the star-studded cast of all time,
Oh, yeah. No, it's
And that's not
successful.
A new play. I think a lot of people think, that's a new Terrence McNally play. It's like, no. It's a revival of a very old Terrence McNally play.
Yes, which he rewrote and updated so that all the jokes are current, but it's very, very funny. Yes, he loves the theatrical, the fantastic, and almost always in his plays, at least one of the characters is somehow also in love with the theater or in love with the musical theater, in love with opera. Years ago, I did a production of Love, Valor, Compassion. And one of the central characters in that is in love with musical theater and sees his whole life through musical theater terms, which I think brings that character comfort, but it also lends a really kind of fascinating perspective to the storytelling in the play.
And
which
so
leads us to
the play that you'll be directing. And we should just say Perfect Ganesh will be happening this summer. So it's right in the middle of the summer in July and August, by another ensemble member, which is really nice that you have ensemble members, because your partner Ted has directed there before as well. And
he's been in plays there too.
And acted
so,
in plays there. And then Stephen Fedoruk, am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm. That's
Fedoruk.
Right.
Is there, which is great. We'll be directing that. And then leads us to Lisbon Traviata, which you will be doing during the holidays, November and December, at the end of the year. Lisbon Traviata, of course, we know McNally's love of music and opera, because of Lisbon and because of Masterclass, the wonderful play that brings Maria Callas to life for us, and for many a great diva to play that part. But Lisbon is really the precursor to Masterclass.
Yes.
So
talk
to me about this play, because I think this is such a powerful and funny and great play.
It is wonderful. The Lisbon Traviata refers to a particular version of Traviata that was recorded by Maria Callas when she performed in Lisbon, and is considered by Callas aficionados and opera aficionados to be one of the greatest operatic recordings of all time. And Callas you mentioned Masterclass, in which Maria Callas is a central figure. And I think that the story of her life and the story of her great artistry, but how that contrasted with a life that was not happy necessarily, and that was filled with challenges, but that she kind of played out in grand fashion is something that McNally is fascinated with. And in the Lisbon Traviata, so is one of the characters, one of the central characters in the play, a young man named Mendy, who is obsessed with this recording and with opera in general, because he has nothing else to be attached to in his life. He's very lonely, and is searching for some sort of connection. Meanwhile, there's another couple that is going through a very difficult breakup and evolution, and so this becomes both a very funny but also a very, very kind of challenging and almost tragic view of human relationships in the middle of not only the AIDS crisis, but in the middle of the kind of gay evolution of the late 80s and 90s. So it's really a beautiful and poetic play and a very powerful play.
Well, and also just I always feel that it's about, you know, the isolation. You know, it's like
yes.
it's about the isolation, how you feel that how you feel that hole or that part of you that's broken or is
right.
not accepted
right.
or not connected to the real world because you're not allowed to be or you're, and I think that's
exactly.
timeless. It fits so perfectly at this moment when it was written, but I'm so thrilled to have you be directing that. And I have not seen that play in probably 20 years, so I'm very
yeah.
excited.
I hadn't either. And I did a reading of it a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
and found that it was just absolutely as
yeah.
as powerful as it was when it first came out. So
yeah.
I'm really happy to be doing this one.
Well, and then you're really not even taking a break. I mean, it's good that you're prepping. As a director, I'm sure you prep kind of for, you know, you learn about a playwright and you learn about a world, but you're going straight from Lisbon right into Mother and Sons up at
right.
North Light. So we're going to have a little shout to the suburbs, to Skokie, because Mother and Sons has not ever been produced here in Chicago
right.
and was kind of known for Tyne Daly playing the mother, I guess. I did not see it, so I'm eager to see this one
no.
as well. But tell me about Mother and Sons and
it's interesting because I had, of course, had heard about Mothers and Sons, which I hadn't seen when it was uh-huh. done in New York, but I got a copy of it when we were reading all of the McNally plays when we were trying to decide what we mm-hmm. wanted to do this season. And this was the play that I really fell in love with.
Mm.
It is about an older woman, a woman in her 60s, who has come back to visit the former lover of her now dead son. Her
mm-hmm.
son died years before of AIDS. She has never reconciled herself to the loss. She has never really reconciled herself to the fact that her son was gay.
Mm-hmm.
She comes back she's from Dallas, and she comes to New York for various reasons and ends up coming in to see her former, essentially, son-in-law, who is now happily married with a son of their own.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it's about her trying to come to terms with her loss, with the world the way it is now, with the facts of her son's sexuality and life choices, and not necessarily being able to. It's not one of those plays that ends with a glorious, oh, and now everybody's going to be happy because everybody understands each other, because
yeah.
that's not how life works.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is most interesting about the play. It deals with a lot of prejudices and problems and in some ways hurts that we haven't gotten over yet, that we're still dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just lucky that B.J. Jones, when we applied for the rights to Mothers and Sons at Eclipse, we were told that a larger theater had the rights.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just lucky that B.J. Jones was the one who had the rights and was looking for a director.
Right,
so
right.
Sometimes these things turn out very well. But it's going to be it's one of the most powerful plays I've read in a long time, and I think it's going to be a sensational production.
Well, it's amazing, and I mean there is just so much McNally that you get to see this season, upcoming year plus in the city of Chicago, thanks to Eclipse Theater and also to North Light and other companies that have produced his work. You know, and it's. I mean, we not too long ago. I mean, you know, he has shows right now going on. You know, on Broadway with It's Only a Play and The Visit. I mean, this is somebody
mm-hmm.
who, you know, he was just had a production of his that I think I saw. If I'm not, Frederica von Stade. Did she do his opera that he did? That was a
yes,
contemporary
she
opera
did.
At the
she
Chicago
did.
Opera
yes.
Theater.
Yeah, we've forgotten the operas that he's written.
Yeah,
too.
Like he is a real he's a real friend of Chicago. Is a real friend of his, I guess we should say. Like it's lovely to see his work, but I have to say, it's been decades since I saw Lisbon. Decades since I saw Lips Together. I've never seen Perfect Ganesh, and I'm so eager to see Mother and Son. So I'm sure I'll have my butt in a seat for all four of these shows. It's great that Eclipse has chosen, you know, this playwright at this time, I think it's an interesting time to be exploring LGBT issues for a company that's not LGBT, and you kind of can't help but it be exploring LGBT issues in a year that all of your plays are by such a provocative LGBT point of view playwright.
I think I'm very excited. I'm always excited by the seasons that we come up with Eclipse, but for very personal reasons, I'm particularly excited about this one. So I couldn't agree with you more.
Do you think Mr. McNally will come? Has there been any communication with him, or does he
we've been communicating
know
with
about,
him. He's very supportive of the season, and as far as I know, he plans to come out sometime this summer to see us and see what we're doing. And he's been very, very gracious in giving us advice and then talking to the directors of the plays about what he intended and all of that sort of stuff. So he's very supportive and will be here, I think, to greet his fans sometime in the next couple of months.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. Well, you can get a subscription right now to see all three of the Eclipse shows. I mean, it's a great deal. It's like for around $50, you can see three pieces of theater. All the plays take place at the Athenaeum Theater, so very centrally located at 2936 North Southport in Chicago. Shows are Thursday through Sunday, and Lips Together, Teeth Apart is playing now, just opened. And, so get your tickets. It's running through May 24th, and you can get tickets at eclipsetheater.com. We'll have that website linked in our show notes. And if you go to that website, you can find out about getting a subscription, or getting tickets to any of these three shows. And of course, northlighttheater.org. Is how you can get tickets to Mothers and Sons, but that's a little ways off. But doesn't hurt to get your tickets now and plan an event. Well, thank you so much for being on with us, Steve. It sounds like it's a very exciting year, and it'll be exciting to have so much McNally in the Chicago theater season.
We're really looking forward to it, and thank you, Amy. Thank you very much.
Got something to say? Call us today, 312-21-BE-GAY. And everybody, I hope you have a great week. Next week, Elaine Dame is on the show with me. A little jazz music we're going to enjoy as we provide some music for Matt. As Elaine Dame is here, jazz vocalist in Chicago, who is putting together a big, extraordinary benefit with so many great artists to raise money for the Matthew Shepard Foundation. That's next week here on the Queercast. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.